rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and TropaGoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Van Bortle Auto Group, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks very much for being with us tonight. On the show, we're going to be devoting the entire hour to an interview we did last week, the 24th of June, at Rhino Stadium with the owners of the Rochester Rhinos, David and Wendy Dworkin. And we'll be also playing this interview on the 4th of July, so our next live show will be July the 11th. Joe Sirianni is with me here. We're recording this up in the press box at Rhino Stadium, and we just finished our interview, and it was fantastic.
It's wonderful, and this show has just been a privilege to meet the owners of the Rhinos. They certainly have expressed a lot of thoughts and a lot of good ideas behind, you know, they want to become owners. They have some concern. They have some hopes. But the only hope, as I mentioned the show today, is that the people who listen to this show today realize that in order for this new owner to stay in business, they got to fill the stands. So those of you who have kids, come and experience them. Support soccer, because without your support, soccer is going to fail in Rochester. Then what are we going to do? If soccer fails, in the long term, everybody fails. So I ask you that you listen to our show, support the team, and support, you know, the game that you love, because that's what we're all about.
And we're also supporting the Western New York Flash. They have a big match coming up this Friday at Rochester Rhinos Stadium. 7 p.m. kickoff against the Chicago Red Stars, featuring U.S. national team players Julie Johnston, Christian Press, and Allison Naher. And the Rhinos will be in action on Saturday down in New York City against Red Bulls 2, kicking off at 4 p.m. Back home on Wednesday, July 6th, taking on FC Cincinnati, coached by former U.S. national team star John Harkes. So let's now go to the interview that Joe and I did with the owners of the Rochester Rhinos, the Dworkins, Wendy, and David. And welcome to this special hour-long interview here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass with our special guests, the owners of the Rochester Rhinos, David and Wendy Dworkin. Joe, I know that we've been looking forward to this for a long time, and we have the privilege of having the Rochester Rhinos owners for the whole hour.
Certainly, it's a privilege to have David and Wendy as as our guests today. I met David at the Italian American Sports Club not too long ago, and at that time, I asked him to be a special guest for a segment like this. Right now, we are privileged to have his spouse over here, Wendy, and welcome to Soccer Kick in the Grass radio show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Let's get right into it. It's been about 5 months that you both have been the owners of the Rochester Rhinos. How have you both settled into this role as the team owners?
I'm not sure that I have settled in yet completely. I think what's happened is that we've slowly started to get comfortable in our role. What I have found is that this is a real moving target. Literally, it's kind of like a soccer ball going up and down the pitch. There's so many moving parts that what we've been able to do is we've sort of settled in the things that are sort of emergencies. So, on the technical side, make sure you have enough players, make sure you handle all that. Obviously, we had to get the field done. So some of the big things got started and got finished. So that's kind of helped us settle in. And now it's just taking care of all the other puzzle pieces. And we're getting there slowly but surely. But I must say, you said it when we first got on, it's a beautiful view here. Just looking out on the field, it's a beautiful Rochester day. But for us, it's the settling is slow, just because there's so many things to do. But we're still feeling good about what we're doing here.
Certainly, David, it's, I assume it's an experience for both of you because you've been involved in sports for many things and for many years. This experience that you experience here right now, were you anticipating all this, or were you, you know, all of a sudden you say, "Oh my God, it's all these kind of things that go on. All these things we got to do."
There's more moving parts than I think we originally anticipated. It's not just the, you know, physical aspect of the team and the coaches and the players. It's the front office operations and the business operations is a completely different, you know, cog in the wheel that has to be run. Actually managing the stadium is a huge thing that has to be run. Upgrading it, making it a good fan experience. There are such a multitude of moving parts that the fan does not realize. And I don't think I realized, coming into this, the team is just itself is just one really, I don't want to say a small aspect, but it's just one of many aspects that has to be run appropriately in order to have a successful franchise.
I want to ask both of you, how have you split up the duties of ownership between the two of you?
Well, some of them are easy splits. So for me, I mean, I played soccer in high school. I was recruited to play soccer in college, but never did. So the technical stuff is all on me. So when interacting with Pat or with Coach Lilly or even on the player side, that's all me. And I remember one of the first meetings I had with Coach Lilly, and he sat me down and he said, "I got to tell you, it's so nice having a coach, an owner, who I don't have to even explain what offsides means." And, you know, I can imagine, you know, I mean, Bob's an amazing, amazing coach. He's a super guy. And I can't imagine having an owner in any sport where you don't understand the sport at all. But so technical's all me. And so I interface with all those folks on that side. And Wendy can certainly speak about some of her things, but she's an attorney by education. So risk management is all hers. So when we had to get our 10 or 11 liquor licenses, that was Wendy. She interacted with all the legal folks to get us our liquor licenses because that's not a small process in New York State by any means. We almost didn't have alcohol for the home opener. And that kind of goes back to your behind-the-scenes question, where what people don't realize, we literally came within probably a few days of not having alcohol, any alcohol, in this entire building for the home opener. I mean, imagine that. I mean, can you imagine opening up this event with all the fanfare and all the new owners and sorry, guys.
To show us how far we've come, now we have a beautiful beer garden and a beer deck. But literally about 72 hours before the home opener, we weren't quite sure if everything was going to get approved by the state in time. So that was stressful.
So so risk is on her side. She deals with all certainly all those pieces. And then the sort of the middle ground, we kind of split really as needed or as one of us has more time or less time. And sometimes it's as simple as dealing with sponsorships or it's dealing with just our own employees with different things. It could be something literally as you really need to go meet these folks that are up in one of the suites. And we interface.
Split that.
Yeah, so we'll really split it. We're certainly a team, which is really nice that we get to work together and do things together, both here and in our other business. And we complement each other really well. I mean, one of the great things certainly about this whole process is that we get to do more stuff together, and it's fun. And the really cool thing is we have two children, but my son is 13, and he loves being here. I mean, he sets up the stanchions for the press stuff, and he talks to Bob Lilly about technical stuff. And our dinner conversations are no longer about video games, but they're now about, you know, where's Tosh going to play? And, you know, what's Garzy doing? And, you know, how are we going to do this? And, you know, what's our center back going to do? And who's our starting 11? I mean, it's awesome to see that. But the very long answer to your question is we split that way, and then the middle is just as needed.
Well, David, just to follow up on your technical part, my experience, you know, as you know, I've been involved in soccer for a long, long time, I've been with many coaches and many owners. Well, basically the same owners. And do you find it difficult, because the knowledge that you have in soccer, that sometimes what you see on the field is not what you expect? And because I sit, you know, I've been involved, like I said, and Andrew and I differ so much, because I sort of analyze the game, and he like to go with the flow, and, you know, he says, well, tomorrow's going to be a better day. And I'm saying, no, I can't be like that. Are you in the same vein? Because you see the game.
Yeah.
You understand the game.
Yes. I think it's always – it's certainly in any business. I mean, no matter what business you're in, if you have a plan and the plan doesn't come through for whatever reason that is, it's frustrating. Obviously, we're dealing with people, and we're dealing with emotions and injuries and your opponent that you're speculating on who they may or may not play. I mean, I look at the Red Bull game, and, you know, we made assumptions on who we thought they were going to play. Did we think they were going to send 10 of their starting 11? No. I mean, other than that one left back, I don't think the other 10 were all starters. I mean, starting keepers, you know, Wright Phillips was like, are you kidding me? So I think, yeah, I mean, I look at it, and I've been fortunate, and Bob and I will sit down when I certainly am here and have time, and he'll go through his tactical plan for a game, and you'll watch, and you'll see it kind of develop. And it's kind of like certain people like to sit in the 300 section because they want to be able to see the whole play unfold from a higher view. And I understand that. But, yeah, certainly if you have a plan, the plan doesn't come through, it's frustrating. But you know what? The goal is to learn. I mean, we lost against Toronto, and I talked to Bob after the game, and he said, what do you think? And I said, I got to tell you, I've never felt so happy after a loss before. He said, what? And I said, you know what? I saw it. You know, we were playing better. We were playing together. I could see the improvement. He's like, that's exactly what I saw. He said, I told the players after the match, guys, I got to tell you, we lost. I'm upset, but I can see the improvement. So I think that the very short answer is certainly, if you see the improvement, even if it doesn't come out the way you want, you just want to see tactically that you're improving. And I've seen that, certainly in the Toronto game.
Let's bring Wendy back in. I want to ask you about the we got to try to make this equal as much as we can. We're gonna split this up because, like I said, you guys have different roles. Well, talk a bit about operations just in general. What has surprised you coming into the team from an operational standpoint that you maybe didn't expect?
What it was going to take to get the stadium running the way we wanted it to. Our staff is very good at putting on a game. They know what they're doing. But I wanted to see offerings that didn't exist at the time in the stadium, such as the beer garden, different food options, just a lot of things. I wanted a different fan experience. And getting that to reality was more work than I thought it would be, just dealing with some technical issues and things like that. But hats off to our staff. They know exactly what their responsibilities are about getting the teams in and out, what the responsibilities are from a USL standpoint, you know, setting up the stadium. They've got that down. So, you know, that's good. But it's also much harder to reach out to the recreational youth soccer community than I realized. It's very different than the experience that I had dealing with youth sports with my son. He plays a different sport than soccer. And just getting the word out, you know, to those youth rec soccer players that, you know, we're here, we have a great product, you know, come out to the stadium, have a great family evening. Soccer seems to be a little bit more fragmented with different leagues and regulatory bodies and all sorts of things since I wasn't a soccer mom that I wasn't privy to.
Yes, it's certainly the case, and Joe and I have experienced that for many, many years. Before we go to our first break, I want to ask you the first game back in April. Mm-hmm. What was it like for the two of you to come on the pitch in that opening game? This is your team now. You own it, and you're in this experience. What was it like for you stepping on the pitch and, you know, welcoming everybody to this new Rochester Rhinos?
I was just glad that we were able to get the stadium open and the team set to even be at that opening. it almost seemed at times that there were just so many obstacles to overcome. It was such a short period to get the stadium ready. You know, I wanted it to be the best it could possibly be for that game opener. And, you know, people in the league and people tell me you can only accomplish so much between March 1st and April 3rd. April 23rd, you have to be realistic. And I just knew that I would never have a second chance to make a first impression. And I just wanted it to be as close to perfect as I could possibly make it, because that's just the way I am.
So I'll take the emotional answer to that. I mean, everything Wendy said is totally correct. I mean, it was the buildup. It was the excitement. It was, you know, we've saved 400 jobs in town. I mean, there, you think about all the different we touch so many people in the stadium. I mean, people from just our team, our staff, but think about the people that are in the concession stands, the people that are parking, people that are working here, the concession people. I mean, there's so many people that touch the stadium. It's 400 people. And, you know, when I walked out, and I'm looking at it now in the pitch, and when I walked out, I mean, I literally, it was somewhat surreal that, you know, we're here and, you know, the liquor license and all these other things to get done. But the emotions were incredible. I mean, it was just, you know, all right, we did this. We saved the team. The team is here. It's not leaving. We've done that. Now, okay. And then we walked out and we had our son with us. And it was a surreal experience. It was an emotional experience for us. We felt good about where we got to, but there's so much more that we want to do.
We're living that right now through this first season with David and Wendy Dworkin as the owners of the Rochester Rhinos. We're going to take a first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the stadium and a lot of things that are going on with the operations of the stadium, what's coming up for events that's coming up later. We're going to have a lot more to talk about with the Dworkins next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Kick off your holiday weekend with the Western New York Flash this Friday night at Rochester Rhinos Stadium as they face the Chicago Red Stars, featuring U.S. internationals Alyssa Nahar, Julie Johnson, and Christian Press. Kickoff for this important match is at 7 p.m. Show your pride by coming out to see all of the biggest stars in women's soccer this summer right here in Rochester. Buy your Flash tickets by calling 271-KICK or go to the Flash office at 664 University Avenue or visit WNYFlash.com. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly, your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of your choice auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
SalvatoresPizza.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi Lai Paul Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
The Rochester Rhinos travel to Red Bull Arena this Saturday afternoon to take on New York Red Bulls 2 in USL League action, kicking off at 4 p.m. Go to RhinosHoccer.com to watch the match live online. The Rhinos are back home next Wednesday, July 6th at 7 p.m. to face FC Cincinnati, coached by former U.S. international John Harkes. Purchase your Rhinos Flex Packs, group tickets, and single match tickets by visiting the box office at 460 Oak Street, calling 454-KICK, or go to RhinosHoccer.com. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to repeat as USL champions. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Saturday in the park, I think it was the 4th of July.
Welcome back to this special edition of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti along with Joe Redcard Sirianni, the host of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Now in our 22nd season on the air, the longest running soccer radio show in North America. And our show today is devoted to interviewing the owners of the Rochester Rhinos, David and Wendy Dworkin. And we're going to talk a bit about the stadium now. And a big announcement that happened recently is the Genesee Brewhouse Beer Garden. And also the naming of Genesee Brewery, Rochester's own, as the official brewery of the Rhinos. So Wendy, tell us about how that all came about and what the fans can expect from this new addition to the stadium.
Sure. Well, obviously the brewery is across the river from the stadium, and they've always been a good friend to the Rhinos, hosting the post-game party and meal with the team after the home games. And I wanted to expand upon that relationship. It seemed like a natural, great local company. And I knew that I wanted to get a beer garden going, but having never operated one before, didn't know how to go about it. We reached out to the distributor and to North American Brewery and the Jenny Brew House, started having some conversations, but it really started to take off when we were at the State of the City address, and the CEO was there of the company and got up and spoke. And quite frankly, after Mayor Warren's address, I went up cold to the CEO of North American Breweries and introduced myself and said, I don't know if you know, but I'm in discussions with some of your folks, and this is my dream and what I want, and what do you think about it? And it turns out he's a huge soccer fan, spent a lot of time speaking to David and I that night, followed up, and in no time, you know, considering the size company they are, we had an agreement. So hats off to Jenny Brewhouse and North American Breweries for partnering with us. The beer garden was a great success when we kicked it off last week, almost too much so, where we were literally running out of product and trying to get product second half of the game. So now we know, you know, some of the technical glitches that happened and how to correct those. The way we constructed it, it's easy to expand. So if we know there's going to be a large attendance for a particular game and the weather's good, we can expand the seating and the area. We also have the beer deck, which overlooks the pitch, which is amazing. So you can sit with your drink and watch the game on the deck. And I just think it's going to be a great partnership, and I'm very excited about it.
Well, and just the one thing I would add about it is that the we've gone through great lengths to be as local as we can. So if you look at a lot of our partners here, Genesee being one of them, local beer company, it's important to us. we try very hard to get local wherever we can. I mean, that was the whole point of keeping the team here, was for the local. So Genesee, in addition to being across the river, they're local, and that's very important to us. And we're going to continue to strive to do as much local stuff as we can.
Another addition that I saw, Wendy, is the fact that throughout the game you have vendors, you have guys going around and trying to sell beer.
Hawkers. They're called hawkers.
Yeah, hawkers. Yep. Okay. I didn't know that.
So they didn't have them?
So actually, no, they never had them. So I think that's a good addition, because usually people are able to buy stuff while they're watching the game instead of having to leave and go get it.
Exactly.
So
that's one
very
thing,
good thing
I learned. Difference between soccer and basketball is the halftime. And soccer, it's 15 minutes. It's, you know, you got to move quick. And part of the thought process of having the hawkers in the stands is to alleviate lines at the concessions. We tried it out once, went well, added some more, went a little bit better. And now we're going to trying to bring in, again, depending on attendance for a game and weather, expand the offerings of what the hawkers have to offer. I don't know if that will happen necessarily for this Saturday for the hawkers, but like I said, before the stadium even opened for the home opener, this season is going to be an entire season of trying things out, see how it works, and improving all season long.
I remember in my younger days, I used to go to the hockey games at the War Memorial. Mm-hmm. That's what it was called before. And they used to have the hawkers, I guess that's what you call them. And they used to sell anything, you know, from popcorn to beer to sodas, whatever people wanted. And you'd be surprised, I remember, how much it was appreciated by the people who attended the game, because they would, you know, you would have a guy in the middle of the thing that is buying a beer and everybody's passing the money and everything. So it was kind of a fraternal kind of thing, you know?
Well, and to me, I think the other piece of that is that because there's such a – it's not like other sports. I mean, there isn't a halftime. I mean, there's a halftime, but that's it. It allows you to if you want something to drink, you don't have to get up. And we're actually going to be experimenting with other things. We may do some hot dogs. We may try to do – you know, we're doing popcorn right now, kernel corn, whatever they – caramel corn. But we're going to continue to explore sort of how to do that. But at the end of the day, it takes pressure off the stands. It allows people not have to get up if they don't want to. And it's just a convenience factor. I mean, it's the same price whether we're hawking it or you're buying it over at the stand. It's just you're here and you get it done. So it's just, again, another thing we're trying to do.
It's great for the fan experience to, especially in soccer, you don't want to leave. You want to be watching the game at every moment during the first and second half, and halftime gets to be very crazy. So
yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about the food and beverage situation. I know at the beginning of the year there was still some issues with the food. It wasn't all ready yet, the vendors. And the food trucks came in, and they're a godsend. They're doing a great job with the food and different types of food that's come into the stadium. So can we talk a little bit about the food trucks and the vendors and for the food and beverages and how that's moving along this season?
Well, food is kind of back to that behind-the-scenes thing. So we have 5 concession stands in the building right now. And unfortunately, when we opened the stadium, we only had 3 concession stands ready to go. We had 2 other concession stands that were run by the same group, and when they decided not to renew, we ended up with 2 empty stands. So now we're about to open, hopefully going to have a liquor license, and we don't have enough food vendors in the stadium. So Wendy, who goes to a lot of festivals, often with me in tow, decided that the greatest thing that we could do was we needed to find food vendors. And she knows a lot of the food trucks from where we go, and she went out and she found all different types of food trucks, and social media went crazy. I love the idea. We can have this type of vendor. We can do a healthy vendor. We can do some ethnic-type foods. So we've continued to have food vendors, and it's been great. And we're going to continue to have those at some level. And then just to our concession stand, so we have the one that we run as part of the Rhinos, and that one's kind of neat. It changes every game based on who we're playing. So Pittsburgh is pierogies and sandwiches, and when we played Montreal, there was smoked meats. So the food is a work in progress. I mean, it is clearly something that we've got to work through because, again, we don't have all our stands open yet, but we will soon.
That's good to hear. Another point that people have brought up for many years, which has finally been corrected, is the scoreboard. There's a lot of issues with it. We finally got it replaced. However, there's still been some glitches with the scoreboard. There's been some missing pixels. There's been some lights out in the areas under the scoreboard where you have the score, the corner kicks, number of fouls, etc. What's going on with that? Is that being addressed? Or is that something that you guys are looking at doing?
So the first piece is the scoreboard that we'll call the Jumbotron. Did have some pixel issues. We were fortunate the city of Rochester actually installed that for us. Actually, before we were even involved, that was approved last year for installation this year. That's just a glitch in the system, and it happened twice. Once early on, more visible, and then two games ago, there was a single square that was out at the very bottom, and depending on the color, you'd notice it. Some people probably came to the game and never saw it. It was like burning through my eyes every time I looked up there. They fixed both of them. It's warrantied. They're aware of it. It appears to be fixed. At least it is so far. The good news, and I'm not sure this has even been out publicly yet, the bottom part, which is actually the scoreboard that says, you know, Rhinos and whoever you play and corner kicks and shots and things, that actually is getting replaced this year with a brand new board. So that's actually going to be great. And what makes that even better, in addition to the fact that it now complements the Jumbotron above it, is we have Section 5 playoffs here. Every other year we have Section 5, Section 6. And it really isn't designed for any other sport or any other event for that matter, whether it's soccer, lacrosse. By going with this new scoreboard, we're now going to be able to have any sporting event we want here or even just a concert, anything. And we can make that board now work for whoever's here playing, and it's such a huge difference. So that's a huge positive.
Well, to follow up just on what you're saying, that Section 5 and stuff, and all the other event that you've been able to book for the stadium, that's the business kind of plan that the Wendy is in charge of it, or both of you are in charge of that, to bring events here?
Both.
Both.
Team effort, so to speak.
It depends on the events, and all depends on time, but... often it's both of us, and I mean, I basically dealt mostly with the Flash, just because Wendy was dealing with the liquor licenses and things. So that's one of those examples where I picked up where she couldn't. But you know, we work together on the events. We're having a concert here in a couple weeks, a city event. We have another event in August that's a concert. So we do it together, but I don't know if I've ever said this, you know, publicly, but I've certainly said it to Wendy. This stadium cannot be self-sufficient as just a soccer stadium. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be, because, number one, it's not possible. But more importantly, this should be a regional facility for this area. I mean, there should be concerts. There should be NCAA events here. There should be other sporting events. This is an amazing facility, and it really needs to live up to its potential. We work with the city of Rochester, and they have some sporting events here separate and apart from Section 5, and we're trying to have some more sporting stuff here. So it's something we strive to do.
One of the things that, you know, in the community, the people that I know, the father and mother that they have 17, 18-year-old kids that can come to the game, they're very reluctant to say... to let them come here without, because at nighttime they got to walk, all that kind of stuff. What is it? What are your plans to tell the community, come on, because we provide a safe environment? Because unless the people know that you're doing exactly well now, because I see there's a lot of police and the, you know, in the, directing traffic and stuff like that. There is a sort of security, but it needs to be promulgated in the community. This way there is, you know, people know, come on, because you're safe.
One of the first things I think David and I have tried doing is going in public forums such as this, the press, TV shows, to let them know that this is a safe place. It really is all about perception. We have not had any incidents. I let my 13-year-old runs away from us because, you know, we're mom and dad and it's not cool to hang with mom and dad. And he literally is around this stadium for 3-4 hours by himself. And he's fine. We have more street finding signs than the stadium has ever had before, and it's certainly easy to get to. We have upgraded the lighting, and that makes it that perception that of safety and makes things, you know, easy to find your way around. It's well lit. Yes, there's a police presence, probably, you know, maybe more than we need, but it's that perception that it gives people a sense of being comfortable seeing that uniformed officer. We have an area where when I'm on shows like this, I remind people if you need to drop off your kids and you don't know how, the parking lot that's used for the suite holders on Broad Street, very easy to pull in, drop your child off right at the gate. Then you loop right around, right back out onto Broad Street. And that's where we tell parents to also pick up your child if you're not accompanying them to the game. So it's really, safety is not a problem.
And we really haven't, as Wendy said, we really haven't seen anything. We were here last week and there were 320 kids from one soccer club. And Wendy and I talked to, we're always at the front gates talking to fans and anyone coming in. And many of them said, we've never been here before. Really? You play youth soccer? No, I don't know why we haven't been here, but it's way better than I thought. It's an amazing facility. It's easy to get to. And people don't realize it's only two blocks from Frontier Field. But, you know, to some people, it's this huge geographic distance. But, you know, to Joe's point, we haven't heard it yet. When we first bought the team, that's all we heard was, you know, it's the neighborhood's this, and no one's going to come here. But, you know, we've seen people come. They're coming back. You know, all we can do is give people as much ability to come here through signs, and there is a police presence. But as I said, we're here at night all the time, and we haven't seen anything yet.
And that's great to hear. And you have to keep repeating it. That's the only way mm-hmm. it's going to stick. Because it's been this way for many, many years. And even just starting the games an hour earlier.
That's
a good point.
Yeah.
I had been advocating for that for a long time. Sunday afternoons for the Lancers was always the traditional day to have a game. 2 p.m. practically every Sunday when the team was home, there would be a game. And people would come after church or after their early Italian dinner at 1 o'clock, whatever it was. One more thing I want to ask in this segment is the naming rights of the stadium. We still see the old name up there on the top of the press box and behind, or top of the scoreboard and behind
we
it
can
as
address
well.
That.
And also the naming rights for the uniforms of the mm-hmm. Rhinos. Right now there is no jersey sponsor. So what's going on with those two items?
Well, they're obviously available and we are searching for the right partners. Two very different, you know, types of partners would want those naming rights. Stadium naming rights, someone that maybe that's a little bit more local, strong Rochester or Buffalo presence probably. The kit sponsorship, since we do travel, that really would be a great opportunity for a company that has a presence up and down the Eastern Seaboard. You know, we go to Ohio in our division, all the way down to Richmond and the Carolinas. So that has a little bit broader aspect. The reason why you still see the former naming rights sponsor on the scoreboard is it's not something that can be taken down or painted. It's a screen. We've already tried.
Yeah, so in order to take it down, you'd have an opening and you'd have this big hole. So for the moment, you know, we're going to let it sit there for now. I mean, you could take it down and just have a big hole in there, but the thought was to let it sit up there for now. But I mean, it's Rhino Stadium. It's not Salem Stadium at all. We've heard it mentioned. Some people say it just because it's in their head, just like some people call it the War Memorial, but you know, it's the Blue Cross Arena. But you know, our hope is to get a company that's community minded that wants to help keep this team in this community.
We're here with David and Wendy Dworkin, the owners of the Rochester Rhinos. When we come back on Soccer's the Kick in the Grass, we're going to shift our focus to the Rhinos team and what's going on the field and what's happening in the soccer end of the Rochester Rhinos. We'll do that next on Soccer's the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Your local
sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W221 CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
Kick off your holiday weekend with the Western New York Flash this Friday night at Rochester Rhino Stadium as they face the Chicago Red Stars, featuring U.S. internationals Alyssa Nahar, Julie Johnson, and Christian Press. Kickoff for this important match is at 7 p.m. Show your pride by coming out to see all of the biggest stars in women's soccer this summer right here in Rochester. Buy your Flash tickets by calling 271-KICK or go to the Flash office at 664 University Avenue or visit WNYFlash.com. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at Salvatore's.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Hi, this is Kitty Van Bortel. When the time comes for you to buy a used car or truck, I really hope that you'll come to see me. The reason is very simple. You can trust me. You can depend on the fact that I will never sell you a vehicle that has trouble. If one does get past me, you let me know and I'll make it right. I don't care how long you've owned it. So please, don't worry. Just come to my place. I truly take the fear out of buying a used car.
VanBortelCars.com.
The Rochester Rhinos travel to Red Bull Arena this Saturday afternoon to take on New York Red Bulls 2 in USL League action, kicking off at 4 p.m. Go to RhinosHoccer.com to watch the match live online. The Rhinos are back home next Wednesday, July 6th at 7 p.m. to face FC Cincinnati, coached by former U.S. international John Harkes. Purchase your Rhinos Flex Packs, group tickets, and single match tickets by visiting the box office at 460 Oak Street, calling 454-KICK, or go to RhinosHoccer.com. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to repeat as USL champions. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Sirianni here at Rochester Rhinos Stadium, taping this interview with the owners of the Rochester Rhinos, David and Wendy Dworkin. Again, if you're just joining us, this was taped on Thursday, June the 24th, for airing at this time. And David, let's talk about the Rhinos themselves. Obviously, last year was a year that probably will never be repeated. There's not many soccer teams that can go through an entire season losing one game out of 30-plus. I mean, you talk about the Arsenals and the Juventuses of the world, but no team in American soccer has done what the Rhinos did last year. So anything coming off of that was going to be a change, potentially difficult. And with the players leaving the team for a number of reasons, And the fact that there's no promotion in American soccer, which I wish there was, because then the team probably would have stayed together intact. The team's in the middle of the Eastern Division right now, Eastern Conference. Are you concerned at all about the status of the team itself and the way the play on the field has gone this year?
No. I think that, well, certainly last year was amazing. I mean, you lose one game, you have 15 goals scored against you in an entire year. That was amazing. And Bob has said that may not happen again for 30 years. But no, as I said earlier on the show, to me, I think you see the improvement every game, and that's really what you judge by. We're in the middle of the pack, but if we win, you know, we have 12 games played. Everyone above us in the table has got either 13 or 14 games. If we win Saturday, we're tied for fourth place. And obviously the goal this year, literally, the goal is to, if you finish in the top four, then you get a home playoff game. So there's going to be eight teams. There's 14 teams in our division on the eastern side. There's 15 in the west. So we've just got, if you're in the top eight, you're in the playoffs. And as Bob Lilly has told me, he's never missed the playoffs as a coach. And that makes me feel good. So we'll be, you know, if we're in the top four, you get a home game, certainly to start. But, you know, I look at the players and I see what they're doing and how they're improving. And you can't really compare year to year. I mean, I went to Syracuse and, you know, can you really compare the 1987 team to, you can't. But we also, the competition's different this year. There's more teams than have ever been. And from my side of the world, and you know, we're competing, the bigger challenge is you're competing against teams that have enormous amount of resources. And I don't just mean a wealthy owner. I mean, you have a team that can sell 10,000 tickets in 4 days. We can't sell 10,000 tickets for two games combined. So, and they have more money to spend on things. So, to my mind, no, I'm not concerned yet at all. I feel good about where the team is. I feel good about our coaching staff and our players. And, you know, we're coming out strong and we're improving, and that's what matters.
Something that was discussed a little while ago, but I guess didn't come to fruition, was a friendly match that we were trying to bring in, or you guys are trying to bring in, either against a British EPL team, a premiership team, or against New York City FC. Has that fallen through at this point, or what's going on with that?
Yes and yes. In the case of the New York City FC, that fell through because they decided they didn't want to take the team out in July and do some friendlies. There was just too many other things they had going. So that was a product of them not doing it. We really, really wanted to do it. We reached out to some potential sponsors. It was a very expensive proposition for us to bring them in. But, I mean, they've got some amazing DPs on their team, and we really would have loved to have them. I don't know ultimately if we would have been able to do it just on the economics of it, but we reached out to some people to kind of help us get there, but ultimately they didn't come. With respect to EPL, there were two EPL teams that reached out to us, and we thought long and hard about it, and at the end of the day, it was just too big a capital investment. We would need to sell too many tickets to justify the expense. And I just didn't know if we could fill enough people in the stands. And, you know, I look at, the New York City, the Red Bull game that we had. And it was a game that mattered. It wasn't a friendly. We could have advanced. And the turnout was great. I mean, we had almost 500, 400 and some odd walk-ups for that game, which is great. Those are people that said, the weather's great. I want to come watch a game. But at the end of the day, it comes down to dollars. And both of the EPL teams that contacted us have gone to other USL teams, and in their case, fortunately, they've been able to sell 10, 12, 14,000 seats in no time. And, you know, we need to get to a point where the community says, if we want to, I mean, look, I'd love to have an EPL team here to have some more friendlies, but I need to know that we can put 6,000 people in the stands. And if we can do that, we can keep doing it. But there's only so much Winnie and I can put on our back, and we just weren't willing to take that risk this year.
Well, I know I'm going to speak for Joe. I hope he can mention this. Next year, Serie A, bring an Italian team here, and you will get, and there are a lot of teams now in Serie A, and Joe, you can talk to this, there's smaller teams that are now in Serie A, which I'm sure there are many people in Rochester who are from those areas of Italy and would love to see them come here.
To follow up the question that I wanted to ask before to Wendy, is that, you know, we talked about attendance on the stadium, okay? And one of the things that I have noticed in the past that the soccer community at large, the amateur stuff, you know, they should recognize, or somehow they should, it should be a program or should be an attempt to say, okay, you want to come to, you, we don't want you to schedule your games when we have our game. But in return, we're going to give you free admission, okay, to the stadium, because this way there is, you know, if they, if you, if they have 15 players, they're going to bring 15 parents that they're going to pay. So if the kids get in for nothing, the parents are going to pay. But above all, you know, the backup of this is that there will be a lot of more people that won't go and watch those kids play, but they will become to watch the Rhinos play. Is there an attempt to do that, a communication, you know, with whoever runs the amateur league to sort of like, look, we want to make soccer progress. The only way we can do it, you know, because, you know, if we, if Rochester keep the name to be, you know, the soccer town, that's the only way they're going to be done. It's not going to be done with mom and dad go over there, watch the, their kids, and, you know, and don't come to support the team. Because at the end of the day, you only have so much money that you're going to spend. And if you don't make a return on your money, you know, you're not going to be in business. So that's the reality of things. I look, I always look to the people that invest their money and reach in their pocket. You know, some because of the love of the sport, but the other one is because you expect something in return. And I lived through all those things with the Lancer time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, I saw the ending. I saw the beginning. I saw the ending. So that's why it's important that there is a program or there is an attempt to make those people support the Rhinos in any way they possibly can.
Well, I've actually taken the time to reach out to the various youth soccer clubs in all the various communities, and have started meeting with them one-on-one. Does it take a lot of time? You bet. Is it going to take a long time to work my way through? You bet. And it's literally physically impossible for me to meet with everyone in one season. But I've started to find out, you know, what are they interested in? What moves their needle? What we would need to do to get their support. There's been various programs in the past where we have let youth in for free. Problem being that you start devaluing your product, and then people wait for the free and are never willing to actually purchase a ticket. And that's kind of, it's a double-edged sword when you do that, because at the end of the day, we do need people in the stands that have paid to come into the stadium. From day one, I've said that we need three things to help ensure that this team stays in Rochester. We need media coverage, so people are aware of what we exist and what programs we're offering. All the various programs, youth programs, the professional team, specials that are going on in the stadium, when our games are, we need the media. We need the business community to step up to the plate with corporate sponsorships to help keep the team here and functional, be it, you know, straight out sponsorships, things that give them name recognition, purchasing field seats, suites, whatever. There's many different ways they can tie in. We need the corporate community. And then the third aspect, which is just as big as the first two, is individual Rochesterians supporting the team by purchasing tickets, coming out, and those youth clubs supporting the team. All three of those things need to fall into place in order to have a sustainable, healthy franchise here.
And that gets into the long-term planning for this franchise. I mean, there's always, in good business, you have a short-term plan and a long-term plan. You guys have been in business for many, many years. I know you're very well aware of that. So talk about some of the long-term plans that you have for the Rhinos going forward after this season, either one of you.
Well, I'll start with the technical piece. You know, technically, you know, as Wendy said, she, the three things that matter for her, certainly the most important thing that I've said before is you know, the long-term plan for me is on the field, is I want to be relevant as a team, and I want to be in the conversation every year as it relates to the playoffs. If we do that, then technically we're doing the right stuff. I mean, if we are always relevant, you know, we're mentioned often, people will say, no matter how good the Rochester team is, or how their, whatever their record is, I've read many social media outlets that said Rochester is still Rochester. When you come here, you have to expect that you're going to have a hard-fought match. You're going to have a well-coached team, and we want to make sure we stay in the playoffs. So for me, on the field, that's important. You want to continue to build your roster. You want to continue to improve on the field. And those are things certainly on the field that are important to us. And from a facility standpoint, at least technically speaking, you want to make sure that your facility stays up to as much as you can other facilities in the league. I know that you look at a lot of sports teams and a lot of the players look and say, where am I going to play? Am I playing in an area with a good facility? Are the locker rooms good? Is the field good? We lost so many events before we took ownership because the field was not in good condition. There were so many events that we could have had here over the years, but because of the condition of the field, no one wanted to play here. So for me, I think, you know, long term, on an event side, we want to get NCAA events. We want to get more concerts. We want to have more sporting events. We want to be a community asset. We want to be thought of just like people think about going to the Blue Cross Arena for events. We want to be in that conversation. So technically, that's where we want to be. And you can add, you know, facility-wise or anything else you want to.
No, I just want to continue to improve the fan experience and add things that our fan base wants and make this not just a great soccer stadium, but a great stadium that has great events.
I think it's going to happen. Things take time. And that's, you know, this is a new era. And, you know, there's been a reset with the Rhinos, with the two of you taking over. And obviously, just looking here as we're looking out from this press box, looking at this beautiful field, it's absolutely immaculate. It's an envy of any other team in the league. The new scoreboard and the changes coming to that and everything you guys are doing.
Signage looks good, too.
The signage looks great, especially that blue sign over behind the goal says, soccer is a kick in the grass. And we appreciate
it. It's a beautiful one.
It certainly is. Thanks to Lou, our good friend, who gave us that many years ago. But we, Joe and I, both appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be with us for this entire show today, David and Wendy. And thank you for keeping this team here. I mean, if we lost the Rhinos, I don't know what Joe and I would have done. The show would have suffered. Our soccer would have suffered. You have to have a local team. No matter where you are, you can be a fan of Chelsea or Juventus or Manchester United or Real Madrid, but you have to have a local team to support as well. And there are many areas in the United States that don't have a local team. So we're very fortunate to have not one, but two. And there's a reason why we have this stadium, and it's for soccer. And it's a beautiful facility. We encourage everyone to come out and support the Rhinos and the Western New York Flash. And to keep these teams in Rochester, we're very fortunate to have them. And thank you both for being on the show today with us. And we wish you guys all the best in the future. And any you guys are welcome on our show anytime.
Thank you so much. I mean, honestly, the opportunity to be on the show for us, and I know we've had some of the players on, is huge. That's the type of thing that we need to let people know that we are here, open for business, and we'll do what it takes to get them to come through those turnstiles. Like David mentioned, we sit at the gates and welcome everybody and ask them to have a good night and thank them for coming, and we mean it.
Thank you both, and we'll certainly be talking to you later on in the season, I'm sure.
Thanks much.
And that's going to do it for tonight's show. We want to thank David and Wendy Dworkin for spending the hour with us. We really appreciate it. Also, thanks to Casey Nucci of the Rochester Rhinos for helping to arrange this interview. The Rhinos will be back in action on Saturday, 4 p.m. down at Red Bull Arena, taking on New York Red Bulls 2, and returning to Rhino Stadium on Wednesday, the 6th of July, taking on FC Cincinnati, coached by former U.S. international John Harkes. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff. And the Western New York Flash will face the Chicago Red Stars this Friday at 7 p.m. at Rhino Stadium. Red Stars featuring U.S. internationals Christian Press, Allison Maher, and Julie Johnston. Get your Rhinos tickets by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Flash tickets are available by calling 271-KICK or going to wnyflash.com. This is Andrew Battisti for Joe Sirianni and our engineer Bob D'Angelo. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be back for our 4th of July show next Monday here on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Van Bortle Auto Group, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.